All right, 1380 WPHM. We know that there's a Michigan connection to the Final Four, and all the NCAA tournament games have been played on Michigan-made floors. That's kind of exciting. Did you know that the song One Shining Moment, when you hear it, there's a definite Michigan connection there? Its writer and original performer is from Michigan and, in fact, has ties to the Port Huron area. David Barrett on the line with us right now. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Paul.
It has been a couple of years since we've talked, and some people listening have heard this story. Many have not. You're from Michigan, and you wrote One Shining Moment.
You know, I did. I happened to be at the piano when it got written. I just had to pick up the pencil and write it down.
Pretty incredible that all these years later, I can't even imagine the tournament being played without thinking of, because every time that you see an amazing shot, you say, oh, that's going in. That's going in the montage, isn't it? That's a One Shining Moment moment, isn't it?
You know, it is. I would say, I would say it's bordering on miraculous the way 37 years later it's still, and in fact, in many ways, has taken on the complexion that you're talking about, that, you know, I sit at the TV and think, oh, that's in. Oh, that's got to be in the montage. So for those of people who aren't familiar with it, but they make this montage out of the song with all the young athletes, and it's a wondrous, wondrous event.
It gives me chills and brings a tear to my eye every time that I see it. I don't know why. I don't know what it is that gets the emotions flowing. I think it's the combination of the song, the athleticism, and the journey that these kids have been on.
Well, you're right. And one thing that's worth mentioning, a dear friend of mine who we lost at CBS, his name was Doug Tuohy, still is Doug, but he's not with us. And he had a vision about how this, he heard the song, and then he had a vision as to how to put it together to celebrate these young athletes. So when you see it, it follows a certain template. And of course, the tournament is never without these moments. And he understood that and shaped what it's become. And now, you know, other people do the footage and so forth at CBS. But reality is it began with a guy, Doug Tuohy, who had this vision of this song and these athletes and their ability. I call it visual poetry because that's what it is. It's visual poetry.
It
began with me trying to explain it to a poor waitress who had to listen to me rave about it 38 years ago that basketball is poetry in so many ways. And Doug understood that and captured it. And now here we are many years later.
It's amazing. I want to talk a little bit more about that. We're talking with Dave Barrett. He is the writer of the song that we're going to hear later tonight. If you stay up and watch the NCAA championship game, at the end of that, it's the culmination of this long tournament, this long season, and, you know, for some of these players, a long career when the one shining moment is shown. I mentioned that you're from Michigan. Tell us a little bit more about that and about some of your family that's right here in the Port Huron area.
Oh, absolutely. My family, actually, my father was from Port Huron originally. My brother, Ted, lives there. His son, my godson, and his family live in Port Huron. In fact, Kaywood Honda, go in there and ask for Teddy Bear or Ted. I still call him Teddy, but it's Ted Barrett. And he owns and runs Kaywood, and so I'm up there from time to time. His sons are, Ethan and Teddy are athletes there, and his whole family lives there. So, you know, Port Huron, I grew up going up there when I was a young man. We live now in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and so I have a fondness for Port Huron.
So tell us about One Shining Moment. Did you write it about basketball?
Yes, I did. The short version is I was playing a concert at a show at a little venue in East Lansing, and after the show was over, everyone had left. I was having a beer, just watching ESPN, and Larry Bird was playing. And the most beautiful waitress in the Midwest, if not the nation, sat down next to me, which shocked me. And I had nothing to say. And so I was watching Larry Bird on the TV, and I was trying to explain to her how magnificent and, you know, he was able to do things where most people couldn't. Mm-hmm. Because he was a gifted basketball player. And so that's when I began to describe to her this poetry of basketball. It failed miserably in impressing her, but after she wandered into the night, I wrote down on a napkin one shining moment, and then slept on it. And the next day got up, my friend showed up, Mark Jovian, late for brunch, and I wrote all the lyrics on another napkin, and then after brunch I went home and wrote the song.
Do you still have that napkin?
You know, I don't. I mean, heavens, you have to understand. I'm right. Mad at myself, for gosh sakes, because that would be something. I have the original lyrics that I wrote down on a piece of paper, but it was serendipitous, if not miraculous.
How did the song go from being on a napkin and then, you know, you composed it and recorded it to the moment that it showed up in your friend got it on CBS?
Sure, Doug.
Yeah.
Doug Tuohy, yeah. Well, the way it worked was that I had been in New York who knows what I was doing there, but a friend of mine, Armin Katayan, lived in he was writing for Sports Illustrated, mm-hmm. and I stayed the night with him. I got up next morning. We were watching the NBA championship, and so that must have been June of 1986. And I said, you know, Armin, I wrote this song about basketball. I think I really nailed it. He said, well, if you ever record it, please send it along. I'd love mm-hmm. to hear it. So time went on, and I was able to record it. Sent it to him just in a cassette. This just shows how dated I am. I sent a cassette through the mail. He got it without telling me. He walked it over to CBS. So out of the blue, a week later, I get a call from Doug at Doug Tuohy from CBS. And of course, I thought it was a bunch of my knucklehead friends just jazzing me. And turns out it was Doug, and they wanted to use it. Now, in that case, at that point, I mean, this is like news to me. So they were going to use it for the Super Bowl, and he said, do you mind? And I said, no, that'd be just fine, Doug. And so it began with that supposed usage, but the song has been providential in so many ways because it didn't work out because they went long and disappointed. And then Doug called me up in January and said, look, we want to use it for the NCAA since that's what you wrote it for anyways. Basketball. Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah, that's one good idea, Doug. So when I happened to be in a tavern with a friend of mine, this is the gospel truth, watching it, and I had no idea what it was going to be. And when I saw the first one, which was Indiana versus Syracuse in 87, I remember watching the video thinking, this is perfect. This is exactly what I had in my mind when I wrote it, and I knew it had found a permanent home. And as it turns out, it did, or permanent as we get in planet Earth.
Well, pretty permanent. I mean, did you think that was going to be a one-off, or did you say, oh, they're going to do this every year?
You know, Paul, I had no expectations. You got to realize I'm playing little folk clubs,
right.
And all of a sudden it's playing all over America. So I had honestly no expectations other than my friend Doug got it exactly right.
When did Luther Vandross record it?
Well, that was in, I'm going to say, 2002
okay.
or 3. Forgive me, I get a little bit foggy, but it was me doing the vocals for about 6 years, and then Teddy Pendergrass, the great
Teddy
Pendergrass did them. And then 2000, I was the vocalist again for 2 or 3 years. And then they asked Luther, which was, I mean, imagine that, you know, one of the great singers of the, you know, late 20th century singing it. And of course, he nailed it. And unfortunately, and that's too casual a phrase, he had a stroke about 2 weeks after, or soon after. So that was the last song he sang. So I'm grateful, just selfishly, that we, you know, his voice found its way onto the song, and he, you know, he did it more than justice.
You've written a book about this too, haven't you?
I've written a book called One Shining Moment.
Yeah.
I was approached by a publisher in Thomas Nelson in Nashville, and basically coming up with stories of hopefully these little moments that hopefully have some value to others. And whether it be, for example, there was a friend of mine whose son, I don't know what we're allowed to say, has a learning disability. And so he finally learned, he sang the Star Spangled Banner at Comiskey Park, you know, and I thought, well, that's a shining moment, standing out there and with that disability. And so it's not just, obviously, there's poetry all around us. You just got to open up your eyes.
That's a great point. And it's a great song, and it's a great tradition. And there is just there's nothing else like it in sports. That song with that montage at the end of the NCAA tournament.
I would say, again, it's almost as if the song said, get out of my way, from its very writing. It had to find its own way to, and someone's much smarter than me, and there's a bunch of them out there, pointed out that, you know, basketball in particular, you get to see the faces of these young athletes.
That's true.
You know, with their anguish, their joy, their, under a football helmet, you wouldn't see it. But here, it's all there. The coach going nuts, falling off the bench. You know, I mean, this is such a unique American event. It truly is. There's nothing like it.
Absolutely.
And they've, CBS, to their credit, has been, I mean, big corporations get a bad rap often, and CBS has been nothing but helpful and supportive and faithful to the song. And I'm grateful to them as well.
Yeah, it's worked out so nicely. Dave, it's a great story, and I appreciate you sharing it with us. And, you know, as long as you're willing, we'll have you back and talk about this again every so often, because it's pretty cool.
I'll come. I'm going to go buy a car for my nephew in April.
Very good.
So I'll be up there in Port Huron.
That's awesome. Dave, great talking to you. Thanks so much for your time.
My pleasure.
All right. Bye-bye.